Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the September 21st, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, and those include zone changes and appeals of administrative determinations and conditional use permits. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. Now, the hearing process does have certain rules, but I will try to conduct the meeting in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a process we're going to use. Obviously, we'll take each item separately, and for each item, staff will present their report and make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Next, the applicant or the applicant's representative will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The applicant does have the burden of proof to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. Then if there's somebody from the public that wishes to testify, what I'm going to do is I'll go down my list of participants one by one and see if you want to testify on this matter. If you want to, you can also raise your hand. I don't know why I'm raising my hand, but that's how you, oh, there it is, lower hand. Okay, so that's how you do that. If there is any testimony in opposition to the project, after we get through with the public testimony, then I will give the applicant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal testimony they wish to make. Because the applicant has the burden of proof, the applicant has the last opportunity to submit testimony and evidence in each of these matters. I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted on any item. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Now, my decision on each of these matters is final and conclusive, except for provisions in the Chelan County Code for request for reconsideration and request to reopen a hearing. My decision, as I said, is final and conclusive. But it is subject also to an appeal. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action on all of these matters. Those appeals have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if an appeal is not timely filed, the appeal would be barred. The bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you really should seek immediate legal advice. I reviewed all the items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today. I will be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the attachments to the staff report, which generally included all of the appeal materials, all of the application materials that have come through, the noticing documents, agency and public comments that have come through, their SEPA documents. Other than receiving and reviewing the entire planning staff file for each item, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner for any of the items, you need to state your objection at this time. All right, I'm not sure why Mr. Brooks, RNA Brooks, has his hand up.
I wanted to speak, so I put my hand up when you said we should put our hand up to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, yeah, that will be when we come to each item on the agenda. So unless you object to me participating, then...
put my hand down.
All right. Okay, so hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This is a zone change application. It's given application number ZC 22-140. This is an application that's been submitted for a rezone of property to make it conform with the comprehensive plan. This is to rezone property located within Chelan County from RR10 and RR20 to RR5. Again, this relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in all the application materials. And for the record, I will admit into the record at this time by this reference, not only that staff report, but all of the application materials, the noticing documents, the county commissioner's resolution, there's maps and drawings. I'll admit all those items into the record at this time by this reference, and I'll admit the entire planning staff file into the record as well and turn this matter over to Ms. Strother for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. This is an application for a zone change to change the subject properties from Rural Residential 10 and Rural Residential 20, which is changing approximately 124 acres to Rural Residential 5. The proposed map amendment implements the changes that were adopted by the Board of County Commissioners in Resolution 2021-150 to the Chelan County Comprehensive Plan.
All right, and the recommendation, I assume, is to approve this
Absolutely. Request?
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant or the applicant's representative here today for this matter? You'll need to unmute yourself. There you go.
Yeah, Dave Dormeyer with Erlinson and Associates, 250 Simon Street, East Wenatchee. Yeah, we just want to thank staff for working hard on this. We got lost in the board a little bit, but we came back out.
Do you want to provide testimony? I'll put you under oath, but if you don't want
No, just thanking staff for getting this through. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming in today. Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter? If so, you can either raise your hand or unmute yourself and let me know you'd like to testify. All right. iPad. Did you want to provide testimony?
Yes, I would.
All right. And your name, please, and an address for you.
Michael Buckingham, 2036 Max Place, Eniat, Washington.
All right. I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. I'll take your word on it. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you, sir. And what would you like to tell me?
Oh, I'd like to say that I've been dump trucking in this area for about 25 years, and I think another pit would be nice.
Well, we're talking about the zone change application right now, sir.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I thought we were talking about the pit.
Nope, not a problem. This is a zone change. We'll get back to you later. Is there anybody else who might want to provide testimony on the zone change application? All right, hearing none, is there anything further from staff?
No, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Dormeyer, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna close the public record portion of this hearing, and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. We'll turn to the next item on today's agenda. This is an application for a conditional use permit, given application number CUP 20-017. This is an application for short-term mineral extraction site. It's located within Chelan County, that is more specific, on property that's more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all the application materials, there's site plan drawings, there's SEPA documents, there's public and agency comments, there's noticing documents. I'm going to admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record this time by this reference. And I will turn this matter again over to Ms. Strother for the staff presentation.
Thank you. This is an application for a conditional use permit for the operation of a short-term mineral extraction. The subject property is zoned Rural Residential 20 and is approximately 28 acres. The property fronts along U.S. Highway 97A, which is a 60-foot right-of-way in the county road system. Traffic scoping analysis performed by SCJ Alliance was submitted May 5th, 2022, and then forwarded to WashDOT. WashDOT stated it meets all of the traffic requirements for them. The estimated quantities of materials to be extracted would be 160 6,000 cubic yards on an average annually. The applicant does not anticipate any blasting associated with this development. Staff did revise the staff report this morning due to three small inconsistencies. Page 2, the aquifer recharge area. Page 9, the estimated quantities of the materials to be extracted. And page 12, the condition of approval requiring a geologic site assessment, one was submitted. Staff has reviewed the application and submitted materials. The information in the application as proposed compiled with the revised Code of Washington, the Washington Administrative Code, Chelan County Comprehensive Plan, and Chelan County Code. So.
All right. Thank you very much. I've reviewed the application several times and your file materials. I do not have any questions for you. I will note for the record that I did receive the revised staff report, and that revised staff report is also admitted into the record by this reference. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
All right, and your name and an address, please.
Dan Beardsley, 325 32nd Street Northwest, East Wenatchee, and I'm here representing Mr. Poppy, who is the owner of Central Construction. Yeah, I see he's online as well, but I think I'll do most of the talking here, so unless Will wants to chime in.
All right, I'm going to put you under oath. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. Mr. Beardsley, what would you like to tell me?
Okay, well, this is, I think Jamie has captured it pretty well in her staff report. We've been working on this for 2 years. Been a long haul trying to meet all the application requirements and additional information requested by the county, but I think we finally got there. This site was the old Zippy disposal site. It wasn't a dump. It's where they had their trucks and their shop and all that kind of stuff for many, many, many years, as long as I can been around here. Then they moved somewhere else and Mr. Poppy bought the site. I only mention that just to so that, that the world knows that there's always been a lot of truck traffic here, and those big old garbage trucks were coming in and out of here for years and years and years. Not that it's important, it's just a little factoid. In the conventional sense being proposed. This is, if you've been to the site or familiar with the site, there's these big talus slopes that have a lot of really good material for creating aggregate. And so there's no pit in the conventional sense. They're just going to mine these talus slopes or process the rock that's already on these talus slopes. Excuse me. And it's, I think it's, always worth mentioning that this is a conditional use, allowed conditional use in the RR20 zone, assuming we can meet the criteria for that conditional use, and we believe we have, and Jamie's outlined that in her staff report. We have no objection to the mitigation conditions contained in the MDNS, which I don't believe was appealed. That was issued a year ago, and that has not been appealed. The suggestion conditions of approval are acceptable to the applicant. So we think we've checked all the boxes to get this surface mining operation going. As Jamie mentioned, we did do the traffic study that was accepted by DOT, the geotech analysis. You'll find that in the file materials that suggested this mining operation should be doable. We saw all the public comments, particularly related to noise, dust, traffic. Noise and dust are highly regulated by the Department of Ecology. There are limits on how much noise you can make, and I think they measured at the property line X number of decibels. I can't tell you what it is, but DOE monitors all that. And the same thing with dust. They have fugitive dust requirements that the applicant must meet. And this is just the land use permit aspect of this project. We are well aware that still have to get a surface mining permit from DNR. That is, again, I believe, subject to CEPA, if I'm not mistaken, and the file a reclamation permit with DNR. They have to meet the water quality standards of DOE. So this is just like the first step in being able to mine on this pit. And I just wanted to mention, too, that we guessed there was 1 million cubic yards. That should be the over the life of the project, which is limited to 6 years by code. That's pretty much a guess, because it's hard to tell until you start mining exactly how much material there actually is there. So I think it's safe to consider that an upper limit. And so I think what Jamie said, and I agree, it's a fair statement to say that 166,000 cubic yards annualized, that it's very dependent on what projects are going on in the area, you know, crushed rock for paving, or aggregate for making asphalt, or cover stone for chip seal. All depends on who's needing that material, in a general sense, providing all kinds of different aggregate products for the local community and building and contractors. So we respectfully would request that you approve this CUP.
All right. You've covered all the questions that I had. I appreciate that very much. Once again, I reviewed this application and all the agency and public comments and all the requirements for a conditional use permit. So I don't have any questions of the applicant. Thank you very much. We'll now turn this matter over to the public. I think for my ease, so I don't have to keep track, I'm just going to go through the list as I have it. You do not have to put your hand up. I imagine that most of the people here are for this matter, but I will start with you. On my list, it's Ann's iPhone. Did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
It should say R&A Brooks. Is that me?
I don't know if you know how to do this, but anyway, I'm going through the participant list, Mr. Brooks, but we'll start with you then. What's your full name, please?
Randall L. Brooks.
And an address for you?
140 Columbia View, Chelan.
All right, sir, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
I have some written so that I don't forget anything. I hope you'll bear with me for that. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to comment. As I said, my name is Randy Brooks. I live at 140 Columbia View, Chelan, just outside the Chelan city limits and right across Highway 97A from the proposed project site. I submitted detailed comments on the conditional use permit application in the fall of 2020 that I hope you've had an opportunity to read. The proposed project is in a unique location at the base of a several hundred foot cliff and immediately adjacent to Highway 97A. There's very limited space in which to conduct an open pit gravel mine operation as proposed. As mentioned, the site is zoned rural residential 20, and the historical use of adjacent properties has been rural residential for over 50 years. The impact of this proposed operation on the adjacent 13 residential properties will be exaggerated by the cliff, which deflects sound, lighting, and the surrounding area. From my house, I can hear people talking in conversational tones from this area. I can also hear and smell the diesel exhaust fumes of heavy equipment being operated in this area. There's a small natural drainage from the project location down to my house. On calm days, the air settles right to my driveway, and I have to go inside because of the fumes if there's heavy equipment operating in the area. Approving this project will affect my health, use of my property, and my property value. Some nearby residences actually look down on this location, so I don't believe there's any way to effectively mitigate noise, dust, and light pollution from this proposed operation. I would like to give two professional opinions, or a professional opinion, on two aspects of the proposed operation. The first is most important: public safety on Highway 97A. I am trained professionally as a traffic accident investigator at the Traffic Institute at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. I worked for 26 years as a traffic accident investigator and law enforcement officer with the U.S. Air Force and the National Park Service. I've investigated many motor vehicle accidents on roads similar in nature to Highway 97A, where it passes the proposed site. Characteristics of the highway near the proposed operation are already hazardous. The access point onto this property is at the crest of a hill on a curve with 50 mile per hour speed limits in both directions. Sight distance is limited. There are no turn lanes. The proposed operation would include up to 50 slow moving trucks per day entering and exiting this property onto Highway 97A and is immediately adjacent to the intersection of Highway 97A with Wilmorth Drive, which also has limited sight distance and no turn lanes. These conditions are ripe for a serious motor vehicle accident. The Washington Department of Transportation comments I've seen, contrary to what the staff just said, were very specific and emphatic that numerous criteria needed to be met by the applicant and that the applicant had not applied for an access permit. The Department of Transportation requested the consideration of this proposal be deferred until the applicant meets the criteria to the satisfaction of the Department of Transportation. So unless that's changed, that would seem to be pretty significant. The second area of concern I have is wildlife. I have a degree in conservation with a minor in wildlife biology from Washington State University. I've lived adjacent to the site for 22 years and have observed wildlife in the area throughout that time. As the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife comments point out, there is significant deer travel through the location. There is also significant big horde sheep travel through this location. It's a natural corridor from Deer Mountain to the north down to the Columbia River. My neighbors and I have been bear, three sightings of a sow and yearling this year alone, moose, cougar, the rare sighting of two Arctic foxes this last winter in this area adjacent to the proposed project. Birds of all type, including bald eagles, gold eagles, osprey, Clark's nutcracker, quail, chuckers, and the rarely seen canyon wren are also common in this area. The Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife comments specifically request that the operation not occur within 300 meters, 984 feet of adjacent golden eagle nesting sites. It's unlikely the applicant can satisfy this requirement due to the limited space at the site between the cliff and the highway. Wildlife will be adversely affected by the proposed operation. Brian Patterson, a local resident with a PhD in environmental science, presented significant detailed written comments that clearly show the project could not meet dust abatement, noise, and emission standards, and that the conditional use permit should be denied. I hope these expert comments were reviewed carefully. I'm confused at the conclusions of the staff report in the following sections. The site information aquifer recharge area section states the proposed project would require a vulnerability report, but then concludes, therefore, a vulnerability rating report would not be required. Are these two reports the same, or is there a conflict?
That's been corrected in the revised staff report.
Okay, thank you. Information Fish and Wildlife Habitat Conservation Area section does not include the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife stipulation that no operation should be allowed within 300 meters, 984 feet of golden eagle nesting sites. Are Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife comments being fully considered? The project design information and noise section states, noise is similar to other public uses. I think we can all agree that the noise associated with an open pit mine that might include blasting that involves rock crushing and 50 dump truck loads a day is not similar to other public uses. With sound being reflected from the cliff behind the proposed operation, I don't think it will be possible for the applicant to comply with Chelan County Code 7.35 noise. The project design information visual impact states that the operations are to be set back off the right of way and is not anticipated to create a view of surrounding properties. As conditioned, the visual impact is anticipated to be minimal.
Right.
As mentioned, some adjacent properties look down on the proposed site and visual impacts cannot be mitigated. Light pollution during winter hours, when hours of operation include morning and evening darkness, will be reflected from the cliff behind the site and will impact adjacent residential properties. The equipment likely used to move material for crushing, sorting, and loading will also likely be tall enough to be clearly visible from Highway 97A and nearby properties. I disagree with the unsubstantiated conclusion that visual impacts will be minimal. Staff report does not mention.
Mr. Brooks, we have several people that would like to testify here. How much longer do you plan to provide testimony, especially since you have this all written out that could have been submitted beforehand?
I asked the office if there was any limit, and they said no.
The hearing examiner has the discretion to limit any testimony the hearing examiner would like to. So I'm asking you, how much longer did you wish to testify?
Less than a minute.
Thank you.
Thank you. The staff report does not mention the Washington Department of Transportation detailed and specific comments that include a request that the approval be deferred until the applicant applies for and meets all the requirements of a highway access connection permit. It's clear from the application and the numerous comments submitted from other agencies and adjacent property owners that this project is incompatible with historic and current land use in this area. The citizens of Chelan County rely on the Department of Community Development and the hearing examiner to protect them from violations of current zoning that is unsafe, adversely impacts adjacent property, and incompatible with historical and existing uses. I urge you to deny this conditional use permit. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Was there anything that you that's on your written comment that you didn't get an opportunity to say? If so, I will certainly allow you to email that to Ms. Strother to be included into the record.
Thank you, but no, that's complete.
All right. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to go through the list that I have here so you don't have to raise your hand. Ann's iPhone, did you wish to testify?
No, I do not at this time.
Thank you very much. Bob's iPad Pro, did you wish to testify?
No, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Beckel, did you wish to testify?
No, sir.
All right, thank you very much. See here, Mr. Kaiser, did you wish to testify today on this matter? I can't hear you, Mr. Kaiser. I see you're unmuted, but would you like to testify? All right, I'm gonna move on. I can't hear you. Mr. Simon, did you wish to testify on this matter?
No, I don't really need to testify. I hadn't received a copy of the staff report and just wanted to make sure that our comments from 2020 were received and included in the file record.
Oh. Yes, I have reviewed them. So
okay,
thanks. Thank good to see you again too. It's been a long time.
Yeah, thanks. Good to see you too, Andy.
You're welcome. All right, the first iPad. There's no name or anything associated with it. It just says iPad. All right, the second iPad. Did you wish to provide any testimony? All right, Ms. McCoy, did you wish to provide any testimony?
No, sir, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Kathy's iPhone, did you wish to provide any testimony? All right, we'll move on. Ken Jenkins, did you wish to provide any testimony?
Yes, I do.
All right, sir, could you state your name and an address for the record?
Kenneth A. Jenkins, 659 Columbia View Road.
All right, sir, if you raise your right hand, I'll take your word for it. Do you swear or affirm or under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much, sir. And what would you like to tell me?
Well, we live directly below the proposed site. And as far as a couple things is the noise is, as Mr. Brooks had said, is that you can hear people talking, and they are actually building a house up there now. And when they were doing the excavation, it was quite loud. You could hear it inside of our house, which I understand at this time. I mean, you're building a house, but not on a constant basis. The other thing is I work out on the Howard Flat area 2 or 3 days a week where they have the pit out there. And so I'm very, for the last 15 or 20 years, or as long as the pit's been out there. And when they're crushing rock, you can hear it all across the pit. I mean, excuse me, all across the Howard Flats area. They do, I mean, and it's down in a hole, but the noise goes all over the flat. And the other thing is the dust, as I've watched out there since this came up, is that they do, I guess, probably a good enough job, but there is dust out there whenever they're crushing. And then as far as I do have concerns about the road at Wilmorth coming in and out, and the highway with that many trucks. So that's right now is what I have. And I just would hope you would deny this request.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Jenkins. Lori Jenkins, did you wish to provide any testimony?
Yes, I would, please.
Ooh, you're gonna have to turn something down or off. You had a lot of feedback there.
I think we've got it handled.
All right, thank you. Have you state your name and address for me, please?
Sorry, could you please say that again? I think we're good.
Your name and address, please.
Lori Jenkins, I'm at 659 Columbia View Road in Chelan.
Now I'll have you raise your right hand.
There it is.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Now, what would you like to tell me?
So you just heard from my husband and my neighbor, Randy Brooks. And Randy, I think you outlined many of our concerns beautifully. I would concur with every single thing that he said. So I'll just start off with that. I'm looking at it right now. I can see up there. It's just across the street from us. And it is noisy. We live in a unique area where we can hear noise quite loudly. And as my husband said, we can hear them speaking across there. And it's not like anyone's yelling. They're just building a house. But we can hear conversations. Hammering, we can hear them hammering inside the house with the door closed with the music on. So that's just how well sound travels. And I just, honestly, I don't believe that that can go on without noise affecting us down here. And I, you know, however many months it takes to build a house, I can live with that. But 6 years of crushing gravel 5 days a week or however many, that's a lot to ask people in a residential neighborhood. And we're neighbors down here. These are our homes. We built our retirement home down here and plan to live here forever. And I just really have a problem with suddenly let's change the rules and your neighborhood is no longer as valuable. Your home's not as valuable. The dust, we have people with asthma down here with breathing issues, the sound. I didn't even think of the light and the animals, and those are all valid points. So I think 6 years of this in a neighborhood, I don't think we would ask other neighborhoods to do this. That would be unreasonable to do. And I don't see why our neighborhood should be treated any differently than how we would normally treat other neighborhoods. The DOE monitors noise. I found that fascinating. I would love to hear what they have to say with the amount of noise that's in our area right now, just from a house being built over there, and how that would compare with the gravel pit and grinding and all of that going on. So that was interesting to me to hear. And then the other thing, big truck traffic and garbage trucks historically being up and down our highway. We've been here 3 years and my in-laws have been here almost 30, and I have never been aware of that kind of traffic going on. So back in the day, I'm sure that maybe was true, but not in the recent past at all. So that I don't think that really applies to us. I don't know. I think this really ought to be denied. I don't think we should be able to build homes in neighborhoods and then have the rules change so that our homes and neighborhoods aren't as nice as they have been. That just feels so wrong to me. So I would ask that this be denied. I'm very nervous about the traffic as well. It's a blind, I mean, it's not a very far distance getting onto 50 mile an hour highway. And I can assure you people aren't driving 50. They're driving a lot faster than that when they come flying by our entrance onto the highway. So that and all those additional 50, was it, trucks a day, that just cannot be safe. And by the way, those bighorn sheep do wander around here, down our driveway, up on the road. We're surrounded with animals and I don't know, this is an accident waiting to happen. So that's all I have to say. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Jenkins, for coming in. We've had Mr. Brooks' testimony. Rochelle, did you wish to provide any testimony? If so, you need to unmute yourself. Okay, Mr. Bauer, any testimony on this matter? Okay, not hearing any, not seeing any unmuting. Mr. Kunkel or T. Kunkel, would you like to testify on this matter?
Yes, I would. My name's Tom Kunkel, and I live at 146 Columbia View.
All right, I'll have you raise your right hand for me, please. And sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I swear.
Thank you very much. And sir, what would you like to tell me?
I've lived at this location for 25 years, and I'm aware of what the traffic patterns have changed like over the years. And when we read the material that was provided earlier, the amount of truck traffic did not seem compatible unless there was a turnoff provided. The hours of operation seemed too long for people in a residential type area. The dust abatement program seemed to rely on a potential well that could be drilled. And in statements that I'd sent in earlier, you know, if all these things happen, okay, maybe then it's a doable project. But at this point in time, I there's too many things that I don't think have been done yet. And I would not be in favor of this project as it currently is proposed.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kunkel, for coming in today.
Okay.
Mr. Bauer, I see that you are now unmuted. Did you want to provide testimony today?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes. And have yes. You state your name and your address for me?
My name is Ron Bauer. My address is 206 Mountain Lake Lane in Chelan.
Okay, I'll have you raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. What would you like to tell me, sir?
I think the only comment I really have is this, is if the applicant that's applying for the mining operation can meet all of the required requirements set forth, there should be no reason to deny his ability to prosper on that piece of property. Living in Chelan, we've all seen growth. We've seen a lot of things come about that we either like or don't like, but that's why we have processes available. Nothing stays the same. Things progress on. It's not a lifetime permit. It's a six-year only permit. So that if Mr. Poppy can provide the adequate information, there should be no reason for this permit to be denied.
All right. Thank you very much for taking the time to come in today or to be here today, Mr. Bauer. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll turn to Will. Does Will wish to testify on this matter?
Yes, I would.
All right, your name and address, please.
We're at 120 Wilmorth Street, and my name is Will Poppy.
Oh, you're the applicant?
I am the applicant.
Okay, we'll give you a chance to testify after the public testimony, okay?
Okay.
We're just going to do public right now. All right. Zoom, did you wish to testify? Okay, not hearing anything. Telephone number ending in 6825. Did you wish to testify? If so, star 6 should unmute you. All right. Samsung, do you wish to testify? All right, and Mr. Johnson, I know you're here for the last item on today's agenda, but did you wish to testify on this matter as well? I'm not seeing a microphone there, so. I'll go back through anybody who hasn't testified that maybe wasn't able to unmute yourself in time. Is there anybody who would like to testify that hasn't already testified?
I believe I was the iPad, one of the iPads. My name's Mike Buckingham.
Okay, and you wish to testify on this, is that correct?
Yes.
So have you state your address for me, please, Mr. Buckingham?
2036 Max Place, Eniat, Washington.
All right, sir, I'll have you raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm or under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you, sir. And what would you like to tell me?
I'd like to state that I've been in the business here, dump truck business, for 25 years, and another pit would be a nice option and would cut down on some traffic in town, in Chelan, in Manson. So I'm in full support of it. And I appreciate the time to comment.
All right. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, once again, I'll go through the, anybody else who hasn't testified, would you like to testify on this matter? Oh, Samsung, I see a hand up, I guess. Did you wish to testify? I don't see any kind of a microphone for you, Samsung.
It, yeah, it doesn't look like they have a microphone.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Samsung. I see your hand is up, but we can't hear you, and you have to have a microphone to be able to testify. If you wish to submit a written comment that can be provided to Ms. Strother by the end of the day today, I can take a look at it and make that a part of the record. All right, anybody else who wishes to testify that hasn't already? All right, is there anything further from staff?
No, sir.
All right, turning to the applicant, Mr. Beardsley, I think we did have the applicant, your client that wishes to testify, is that correct?
Yes, I think Will has, Mr. Poppy has some comments, I think you're offering me the opportunity to rebut some of the other comments, correct?
I am.
Okay, well, I'll make it short. This is one of those situations that the whole, and if you don't mind me soapboxing a little bit, the whole land use process is sort of a flawed process where we adopt these comprehensive plans and zoning regulations, people rely on them.
nobody ever comes to those hearings and meetings and stuff because it doesn't affect their daily lives until it does. And that's where we are today with some of the neighbors. And I fully understand their concerns. However, the land use train left the station a long time ago when these temporary permits for CUPs were allowed in the RR20 zone. So the applicant certainly has right to rely on what the code says. With respect to the oft-mentioned traffic, we did hired an expert traffic engineer, Ryan Shea with Shea Car Jewel, SCJ Alliance, to do a comprehensive traffic study, which he worked with DOT on that. DOT accepted the study, and as you can see from Jamie's staff report, they're fine with that. Of course, we have to get an actual access permit. That's part of the process, but you don't do that until you have the land use approval, and that's a condition of approval, and that's fine. If we don't get the permit, we don't have a project. So with regard to noise and dust, gravel mining operations by their very nature are kind of noisy and can be dusty, but those there are limits on how much a fugitive dust can be created and how much noise can be generated. And that's regulated by, as I said before, by Department of Ecology under the WACs. So the one thing I didn't mention that Buckingham alluded to briefly was, this is sort of a general comment, that there's only one operating gravel pit in the area, and this, in addition of another pit, would do several things. One, it cut down on truck traffic and hauls from long distances away and all that kind of stuff. So there are, and just the outright availability of another producer of aggregate products would be beneficial to the building community in terms of affordability and all that. So that's something that is worth considering in the process of considering approval of this. And with that, I'll defer to Mr. Poppy if he wants to testify.
All right, sir, can you state your name for the record again?
Yeah, my name is Will Poppy.
How do you spell your last name, sir?
It's P-O-P-P-I-E.
And an address for you, Mr. Poppy?
120 Wilmorth Street. Schlant.
All right. I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me this time. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. And what would you like to tell me, sir?
First and foremost, I will have the utmost respect for my neighbors and do everything that it takes to make the impact on you guys as minimal as possible. I would like to proceed, obviously, with doing this. We've got a lot of money invested in time. We got delayed a lot with COVID and everybody else's program there, but we definitely want to proceed through it. If the code says that we can, I feel that it should be accepted. There's things that I truly feel would be a benefit to the community, and I understand that there'll be some impact to the local neighbors who are here voicing their opinion. But there is things that happen where supply chains run out. I've talked to several other truckers where they ran out of 1.5 inches to 2.5 inch rock. And so there's supply chain issues. There's housing affordability issues. There's actually less trucking impact on the community because from where we go to where the other pit's located is another 30-minute round trip, which is another 30-minute of burning diesel in the trucks. Have a lot more than 50 trucks a day going into their pit. So the cost savings to the community in general is so very sufficient. It's $5 to $6 a ton per load, just in the difference from running from where we're at down to the pit down the street. So there's a substantial benefit to the community as a general. And I guess that's it. I do have a very concern for the neighbors, and we'd go out of our way to make sure those impacts are light. And, right. And we're building our house right next to it too. I understand we're going to want to mitigate it for our own sense, and we're going to be the closest neighbor. The one thing I did hear that I don't necessarily agree with is there is nobody that looks down on to our property. And there was a comment there. And if there is somebody that lives on the top of that mountain that can see me, I've never seen them before. We haven't seen any bear this year, and I'm up there every day. My mom's a veterinarian. I care about wildlife. We are going to go out of our way to do what we can to mitigate anything that we need to in accordance with the law. And for that reason, I'd like to have this permit accepted.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Beardsley?
No, sir, unless you have some questions for me.
No, I don't. All right. Thank you very much. What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the record open until 5 p.m. today. Mr. Author, what is your email address? Or is there a general email address that if somebody has a written comment that wasn't able to testify today, they can send that written comment to them?
It would be best if they emailed me, and my email address is Jamie, J-A-M-I-E dot Strother, S-T, oh God, S-T-R-O, look at me, I don't even know how to spell my last name, S-T-R-O-T-H-E-R at C-O dot Chelan dot WA dot US.
All right. So Jamie dot Strother at all the at stuff afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. So the record will be open until 5 p.m. today for those who did not testify, Samsung possibly, or anybody else, to submit their written comments. Those will be sent to you, Mr. Beardsley. If you would like the record to remain open to provide a response, you simply have to ask to do so on a timely basis. All right. The record will remain open until 5 p.m., at which time it will be automatically closed, and I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. We have one last item on today's agenda. This is an appeal of an administrative decision. This is given application number AA22-353. This is appeal of the denial of a short-term rental permit for property that is located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, the application materials submitted by the applicant, the appeal documents submitted by the applicant, the county's staff report, the county's denial letter and justification, there are materials that were submitted, looks like online listings and some other items like that. I'm going to admit those items into the record. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So the property in question is located at 235 Parkway Drive in Manson, Washington. The applicant submitted materials to apply for a short-term rental permit December 1st, 2021. Previously to the new short-term rental permit, the owner had submitted an existing non-conforming application November 29th and had discussion with department staff that he would not qualify for that status as he had not held a previous Manson VR permit since 2018. He was denied the existing non-conforming permit January 2nd and was not given a provisional permit to operate. According to the assessor's records, the parcel in question passed to the current owner May in 2011 And in the appeal application letter from the owner, in section 3E of his letter, the owner states that they have owned and rented the property for 12 years. Prior to the STR code, the Manson UGA had a vacation rental code necessitating owners to hold a VR permit to operate legally. The only years that this property held a VR permit were 2016, 17, and 18. The other years were unlawful operation. This owner has continued to advertise and operate as shown in Exhibit C printed on 9-8 of 22. Chelan County Code 1188-290 section 2C4C reads that new short-term rental applicants will be required to comply with the most current city regulations for short-term rental use for each city UGA, which are herein adopted and incorporated under subsection 2C4 of this section. Chelan County Code 1123-030 for Manson UGA, a short-term rental is allowed in the UR3 zoning with permit standards. The standards are per election section 1123-040 to be on a lot, 5,000 square feet lot, unless they meet criteria 3, or a 7,000 square foot lot for a duplex unit, plus an additional 500 square feet for each additional unit. This is a duplex unit, so it would require a 7,000 square foot lot. The lot in question is a 0.07 acre lot, or 3,049.2 square feet, which is deficient. Per Chelan County Code 1188-290 section 2D2, new conforming tier 2 short-term rentals in all residential zones cited in this subsection 2D and within Manson's UGA shall be located a minimum of 200 feet apart as measured from all points on existing short-term rental dwelling structures to proposed short-term rental dwelling structures. This distance shall not be subject to reduction pursuant to chapter 1195 variances. Excuse me. This dwelling is within 200 feet of another SDR already permitted at 201 Parkway. August 16th of 2022, a letter was sent to the applicant notifying them of the denial of the SDR permit. August 29th, 2022, an administrative appeal, AA22353, was filed with Chelan County Community Development with the associated application fees. Staff's recommendation is the denial is upheld based on the fact that the applicant does not qualify and he has continued to operate unlawfully.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Johnson, are you ready to proceed? I don't see that you have a microphone attached. I see your face. Do you have a microphone that you can plug in on this? There we go. All right, you unmute yourself and we're ready to go.
Okay.
There we are. All right, okay. Could you state your name and an address for me and then I'm gonna swear you in.
My name is Scott Johnson. I'm at 3034 180th Avenue Northeast, Redmond, Washington.
All right, sir, have you raised your right hand for me? And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much. And you are the property owner and the appellant today, is that correct?
That is correct.
Sir, what would you like to tell me?
Okay, so hopefully you've, this feedback loop is throwing me out. That's why I tried to use my phone, but for some reason it wasn't getting through. So I'm hearing myself, so I'm going to take my earphone off for a second. Okay, so as I understand it, there are two causes for the denial. One was the lot size. I already thought they acknowledged that the lot size didn't apply. We have an email from Kristen. Dan Beardsley sent it in saying that he did not think that applied to the urban growth area. And she essentially said, yeah, but there's the other thing. So I kind of plan to respond to that. The 200-foot rule, I will just, there's so much there's so much wrong with this code development and the way it's been enforced and the logic of it. But I'm going to just try to focus on this one thing. So the 200-foot rule, I'm not sure that makes sense anywhere in Chelan County, but it absolutely is ridiculous to apply it to where our townhouse complex is. I don't know if you know this area in Manson. I'm going to describe it to you a little bit. And by the way, apparently community development approved this because there's a new motel that was built about 40 feet away from my unit with, I don't know how many, 60 units, 30, I don't know, but a very big motel. So to treat this as if it's a neighborhood of single family homes is just crazy. So I abut the largest timeshare complex in, I'm sure, the county, if not the region. I am three motels near me. There's a church, there's wineries, there's a new wineries coming, tasting rooms coming in, there's restaurants. The wineries do music on Saturday nights. This is not a bunch of, the closest single family home that I can calculate is about 500 feet away from me. These units are 35 units that were purpose built to be part-time rentals from day one. On average, I would say about 30 of the 35 owners have done that. When I bought this property 12 years ago, I bought it for that exact purpose. I've hired managers to manage the compliance and do everything. First, it was Chelan Vacation Properties, which was acquired by Vacasa. That's the reason I pay those guys to take care of the permits. They were doing it. And then I didn't get the grandfather because of the arbitrary requirements to have that one permit, which was, it was $100 administrative. There was absolutely nothing that was done with that other than you pay it and you get it. I would have certainly paid it if I had known it hadn't been paid. I didn't even know they didn't do it. They just lost, you know, there was turnover and they didn't have good processes. And so somebody comes in and just doesn't do it. So, you know, my focus is on what they're charging me for, not what they don't charge me for that they should be charging me for. But anyway, that's the grandfather issue. This 200 foot is the part I'm trying to focus on. So in addition to, if you can visualize this neighborhood, which is, you know, was built from day one to support vacation, my unit is a shared wall, and the owner of my shared wall unit has a permit and will be doing short-term rentals. So to tell me that I suddenly now can't use it for the same purpose, so I'm going to be there as a resident full time, and that's okay, but we're going to have short-term rentals next to me. That's the exact problem that this so-called problem that this code change was going to try to address in the first place. So it's creating one that didn't exist. So I bought this unit for this purpose. It's been used for that purpose. I've complied with everything that I was aware of from day one. I hire professional management to take care of things, and always have. And now I've actually, you know, focused on if we go forward, I'm able to continue to do this. I've got my neighbor that owns the adjacent unit as is going to manage it for me. So she would obviously be in keeping with her own best interests as well. So that's it for my comments, unless you have questions about what I submitted.
No, I did review everything that was submitted. That was part of the file of record, so I appreciate that. I don't have any questions. I have to look at this a lot very carefully. I know it's an important issue. Mr. Beardsley, this is not a time for public testimony. Mr. Johnson, you mentioned Mr. Beardsley's name. Is he your agent, and do you authorize him to speak today?
I do, if he'd like to say something, absolutely. He's been aware of this issue for quite a while and has provided good advice.
All right, Mr. Beardsley, if you have been called as a witness by the appellant, so you are still under oath, and what would you like to tell me?
I don't have a lot, Mr. Examiner. I just wanted to clarify that I think Kirsten mentioned this was a duplex unit. It's really not. It's a
zero lot line townhome. These are in on individual lots with common walls. They're not duplexes. Not to, I don't know if that makes a difference or not. My relationship with Mr. Johnson, I've worked with him on some other properties, and as you are probably well aware, I don't get into the STR arena. Keep my hands out of that. So that's just a little factual piece of information that may or may not affect your decision.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Beardsley. Mr. Johnson, is there anything further you'd like to add?
I just want to reinforce the context of, to pass a code that for, an entire county with so many different areas, and to use the concept of a Manson urban growth, I don't even understand the title of that if we're going to try to regulate it as if it's, millionaires row there along the lake. It's not. It's a high density, vacation centric, certainly for the 4 or 5 months that we have a season. And, it's just, it's beyond my understanding how the county of Chelan can turn its nose up at those of us who have invested heavily in the county for me over a decade. And now I tell you what, I'm looking to remove the investments I've made. And I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. When I came into the county, shortly after, 2008, after the real estate crash, the apple industry went sour. I put in a vineyard. I hired and employed, dozens of people for months and months. And I have since for 12 years. And, I just don't understand this. This is a huge engine of the economy for the entire county. And I don't think you understand. Somebody doesn't understand, where that's going to go. We're going to have a bunch of people in those ridiculous, that hilltop thing. That's beyond me how that got approved. But, and meanwhile, I don't know where you think people are going to stay. They don't want to stay in the motels. They want to rent nice places like at Wapato Point, as well as Wapato Ridge. And you're taking those away. It's going to be a huge detriment to all of the wineries. You can walk to 12 wineries from my, it changes all the time, but a lot of wineries on Main Street there. And, this is where people stay. And okay. thank you for listening to me and having a chance to.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there anything further from you, Ms. Riles?
No, sir.
All right, Mr. Johnson, what I'm going to do is I am going to close the public port or close this public hearing on this matter. I will review all the evidence, review the Chelan County Code, and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. There are no other items that are on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn the September 21, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. Thank you all very much for coming. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.